Hola, hola, and welcome back to Vos Memos. I'm your host, Angela George, and in this episode, I'll be giving an update on some exciting news related to my career, some tips for cozy self-care in the fall, some progress on getting back into graphic design, and my TBR list for the rest of the year. I will also update you on Bobby, who suddenly, along with the rest of the cats and dogs of America, is pivotal to the US election this year. So light that pumpkin spice candle, make a tea, and let's get into this episode of Vos Memos. Alrighty, so before I get into the rest of the episode, let's talk about Bob. I've basically shortened her name to Bob most of the time. And I just realized on the day this episode is coming out that it is our 6 month anniversary together, which I cannot believe it's been 6 months, but my life is so much better since getting her. She's always greeting me at the door when I get home from work and cuddling with me at night. It's just been so nice to have a companion. She truly is living up to her role as an ESA, except when we're beefing. Sometimes she can be very demanding about dinner or breakfast, but that is just the nature of a cat who loves food. She's definitely a foodie. I've been talking about starting a guest blogger section on my blog for her for a while now, and maybe now that it's starting to get a little cooler and darker earlier, maybe I can actually start writing again on the blog from Bobby's perspective. I think that would just be so fun to share just her perspective on life. She's very adventurous, very mischievous, and yeah. People ask me how she's doing, and I'm like, what am I supposed to say? That her teachers love her in class and she's getting straight A's. She's not a kid, but I feel like my colleagues who all have children are like, what are we supposed to talk about with you? You don't have kids. How's your cat? So I don't know. She's a cat. I like to say she's a cat's cat. She's always advocating for what cats would like at the expense of my wants and desires, but she's always got a cat's back, you know? So that's the update on Bobby. As a childless cat lady, it's crazy that that's now a demographic in politics even, but it is, with Taylor Swift's endorsement of Kamala Harris and her signing that endorsement as childless cat lady. I think that really solidified it as a voting segment in the US election. And I'm just very curious to see if they can actually pull together some stats on how childless cat ladies vote. I think that would be super interesting. And on that, if you have not yet, please register to vote. It is part of our civic duty. As a US citizen, you have the right to vote, so register to vote. It's so important. And I think around this time of year, just that song from Disney's Mary Poppins comes to mind with the women suffragettes. I just have so many good memories of singing that with my sister. And now we're both old enough to vote, and I think this is her first presidential election, and yeah, it's just a big milestone in life to be able to vote in a big national election like this. So it can seem very negative, very overwhelming at times, but I think there's always optimism out there, there's always hope, and that's how I always choose to vote. Vote where you see the hope. I think that's just a great way to keep it positive and, yeah, just not contribute to all the hate that's out there. With that, let's get on to the other life updates. I got a promotion. This is the first time in my career that I've even had a job long enough to have a promotion. I mean, early career, it's pretty common to be switching jobs 6 months to a year in, and that's kind of what happened to me until just now when the opportunity opened up for me to convert from a contractor to full-time, which comes with so many more benefits, more opportunities for learning and career development, opportunities to move up in the company, shadow people, meet more people. So I'm feeling a lot of optimism about my job, which I don't know if any of you are in that corporate space, it can feel very cyclical and it's easy to get cynical. But at least right now I'm embracing this momentum and I'm going to see like where it can take me. It's LinkedIn official and I've been able to connect with some old colleagues because they saw that announcement and that's been really nice. It's also been making me reflect on like how lucky I am that I have this abundance in my life and these opportunities, that I have such a strong personal and professional network that's supporting me. My leader at work, she's really awesome at like acknowledging my successes and guiding me, and she's the one that's really been advocating for me to get this role. So I feel really grateful and just proud of myself for where I'm at so early in my career. I think I'm in a great spot, and it's really easy on those days when you get overwhelmed or you just have back-to-back meetings all day and people are being very demanding. It's easy to get caught up in the negativity, but when you're able to take a step back and see like how far you've come, that's where like those positive reflections and the optimism can really come from. So just taking a moment to celebrate that. You always want to celebrate your wins, no matter how small they are, because that's how you keep building up on that momentum. So I just wanted to share that. But besides that, I've also been a little bit in a season of stress for the last couple weeks, just some unexpected adulting things, which is another reason I've been reflecting on my abundance and having gratitude for everything that I have. But it's also in those stressful times, that's kind of why I wanted to talk about self-care in this episode. With fall around the corner, I feel like that's another opportunity where social media tends to commercialize and commodify self-care, whether it's lighting a new pumpkin spice candle, which I'm guilty of purchasing every year, or a new set of pumpkin themed pajamas, or a new coloring book, or a new fall blanket, like just all these things that people are buying instead of actually practicing self-care. They're just showing you more things you can buy and feeding into that consumerism mindset. And I didn't realize how serious I felt about this topic, but it is really tough to just be scrolling through social media, which, first of all, that is another form of procrastinating on self-care, like the doom scrolling. I notice when I'm feeling more stressed, I will scroll more on social media. I even kind of give myself permission to do that because it is such like a numbing activity. If I'm feeling like maxed out, then I just am like, okay, I give up. I'm just going to scroll. And not only is it just pushing off the problem, I'm not actively addressing the thing that was stressing me out. I'm not doing anything to unwind. I'm just putting a pause on it. It's also just showing me more and more consumerism content, which is also not helpful. It's just more and more stuff. And honestly, the way I see it now, it's just more and more garbage. Like all of that stuff people buy, it's eventually just ending up in the landfill. So it's literally just content of garbage. And some of it is garbage right out of the box. They're showing me Shein hauls. They're showing me like single use items. They're showing me seasonal items that people just throw away at the end of the season. So it's really unhealthy. It's not the best way to address stress or self-care. And so I just caution you this season. We love our pumpkin patches. We love our pumpkin spice lattes. But we don't need to buy a bunch of new stuff to get into the season or to feel like we're cozy and we're in our self-care era. I think it's just it's always for me just going back to the simple things. I've been taking a lot more baths. And no, you don't need to buy a bunch of bath accessories. Really, it can just be as simple as hot water and a bulk bag of Epsom salt. The science is not as strong as I would have liked. I did like look into it if there were actual studies, but Epsom salt and just a warm bath, you can't really argue that it's not relaxing. I don't know if there's actual medical scientific benefits to it, but it's been working for me to help unwind. And then on top of that, another way I see myself practicing self-care is scheduling time with friends. Like, I think it's easy to get caught up in that 9-to-5 life cycle where you're just stressed, you come home, and in the name of decompression, you just don't do anything. You just veg out on the couch and then go to bed. And some days, of course, we need that, but it's also important to schedule time to see people. I think a while back, I was listening to this podcast called Fun on Weekdays. I haven't been keeping up with it so much recently, but I think it's such a good point is we often forget, oh yeah, you can have fun during the week. You can go see your friends during the week. It's such a simple idea, but how many of us actually practice it? And so just scheduling one activity a week with a friend or a reoccurring class, a book club. My book club meets on Tuesdays. I think that's just such a great way to break up the work week into and remember that it's more about the things you do outside of work. So, and it's a very achievable goal, I think, too. It's just one activity per week to look forward to. I'll talk about hobbies in a sec, but another thing I want to hammer down, or another thing I want to underscore, is that without making time for self-care, it's just not going to get done, right? Anything that you don't prioritize gets pushed to the bottom of your list. So if you're not creating time to have self-care, like I said, scheduling that one activity or making time to have a bath in the evening, it's just not going to happen. So yeah, I would just caution you, you don't have to commodify your self-care, but you do need to prioritize it. Okay, so like I said, prioritizing, I think that segues into prioritizing creativity. I want to give some updates about the projects I've been working on. I am leaving my zine era just because I don't have that zine fest that I'm working towards, but I still have zines on the brain. My last thing that I made, so I'm calling it Zine Teeny with a Twist, Volume 1, curated by Angela George. And what this is it is literally just a box of my zines. It opens up and all of my mini zines that I collected so far are in here that fit in this box. And it's just me dabbling with graphic design. I wanted to create like a book jacket because the book box, that's what it is just one of those fake boxes that look like a book. The book box was really ugly. So I created this book jacket for it so that it would look cute on my bookshelf. And it's not perfect. The paper that I used, I thought it would be fine, but it's kind of tacky. Tacky as in the texture is tacky, not as in the design is tacky. I hope the design isn't tacky. I really like it. It's like pink and red, if you're just listening. Pink and red with a little martini like line art on the cover, and then a bunch of olives creating the background pattern. And there's a bunch of Easter eggs on here that are really just funny to me. On the back it says praise for Zine Teeny, just like would on any book. Like, it has reviews. And I'll just read the first one. This zine collection is shaken, not stirred. A perfect blend of creativity and originality that leaves you craving more. Roberta, author of Meow or Never. And Roberta, that is Bobby's full legal name. So yeah, these are all reviews from Bobby. and then I don't even remember everything I put in here that was an Easter egg. On the inside, I even did an inside flap. Yeah, on the inside flap, it's a collection of works which elicits the warm, fuzzy feeling after a martini. You may feel elated and then depressed, have an unforgettable night, or do something you regret. The aromatics are sour and sweet. The humor is dry. And of course, it is shaken, not stirred. And then I have like a little martini recipe, which, if you've been following the podcast, you know I've been drinking martinis and I've been in a martini era. I am a dirty martini girl. Some might even call my martini recipe a filthy martini. And the recipe in here is just a straight up martini because it is Zine Teeny with a twist, as in a lemon twist. But I would never order a straight up martini with a lemon twist. Like, I would not be able to handle that. I need my olive brine and like three olives at least. And I just thought it was so fun to create a product in a sense, and also an interesting way to display it on my bookshelf. And it's just like an interesting thing to display on my bookshelf where my zines can blend in a little bit more with the other books. And yeah, so it's just a great way to display it on my bookshelf. And I am going to talk about my unread books that are on my bookshelf in just a bit. But I did want to talk about one more project in the works, which is my Year in Review magazine. And I saw this on TikTok, which I have since deleted the app because I'm spending way too much time on TikTok. But this was a gem. This was a good find on TikTok. Is this trend where it's basically digital scrapbooking. You create an entire magazine of all your favorite memories as spreads, and then you get it printed somewhere professionally that can print a magazine style booklet, which I think is so fun. I never thought about making my own magazine, although in college I was an editor for a Year in Review magazine for the School of Education. And so it's kind of, this project is kind of at the intersection of many things that I like, which is blogging, taking cute pictures, scrapbooking, even laying out the interior of a magazine. I've done that before for literary magazines and yearbook, and I haven't done it in years because I didn't have access to the Adobe suite, but now I'm trying out the Affinity suite, so we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to work perfectly for this project, and I'm just really excited to play with like typography and do like really artsy spreads. Maybe I'll highlight like some of my favorite articles I've done on my blog. And it's just a really fun form of physical media that I get to have on my coffee table. So I'm thinking about that. Unfortunately, I only heard about this project just a few weeks ago, and it is September. So I have a lot of spreads ahead of me, but I've already planned it out. And I mean, obviously the feature spread is going to be my Tokyo trip, which I have it all booked for October. It's actually going to be a trip of a lifetime. I'm really excited to update you guys on how it goes. Maybe I'll do the podcast episode in Tokyo or Seoul. I'm not sure. My podcasting kit is pretty light. It's basically just this microphone and the headphones. So I think I could do it. I just have to decide. But we'll see. We'll see. But that's definitely going to be a spread in the magazine. And then I actually have a lot of the pictures picked out already. But yeah, so I'm really excited to try out this digital scrapbooking. I have been scrapbooking probably since like middle school. My grandma tried to get me into it. She gave me like this beautiful blank scrapbook where each page was just this really thick paper, so you could just create whatever you wanted. It was a blank canvas. I really haven't seen a scrapbook like that ever since, and I don't know what happened to that scrapbook either. And since then, I've done several different iterations. I have a Polaroid scrapbook. I have just a normal scrapbook, which basically has one spread done. I tend to pick that hobby up off and on. Like, it's a very peripheral hobby, but I think the digital magazine / printing out the magazine, I think that's a better option for me because I tend to be a little bit of a perfectionist with those. And that's why I don't do it. It's because I'm like, ugh, I need to create this perfect spread and just have the perfect pictures versus the magazine. It's a lot easier to tweak. It's a lot easier to keep it cohesive. So I'm just excited to try it out and see if it's something I can keep up on. And so before I leave this topic of graphic design, making time for your hobbies, I just want to touch on how I make time for all these hobbies. Because that is a question I get a lot, is like, how do you have time for all of this? And I would say you can't have projects to work on if you don't plan them out. And so with Zinetini, for example, I knew I was going to do that maybe a month ago. I came up with that idea. I wrote it down in my Notion board. I have a Notion, which if you don't know what Notion is, it is a database. It's a documentation tool. It can create Kanban boards. I use it for Kanban boarding. And And then I also have an agenda to write things down, because if it's in your head, it's taking up space. So I write it down. So I have these two tools to write down all my ideas and sort them in varying degrees. And I think that's really what keeps me motivated, is that I have a backlog of ideas that I can look at any time to kind of generate some inspiration. And also, once I start working on that idea, I can track progress, ideas, notes, whatever I need. And I think that just helps me stay organized too. So you have to have a place to organize all your ideas. And then you need to prioritize making time to execute those ideas. And my number one thing is just delete the social media. Anytime I notice that I am not working that much on my ideas, or I'm not, like, I notice that I'm not spending a lot of time on creativity, or I fall behind on my reading, it's always because I am watching too much TikTok or I'm watching too much YouTube. So the easiest way is just to delete those apps, and you'll find you have a lot more free time than you thought. It's not like I finish these projects in one day. I mean, sometimes I do, but most of the time it's just over the course of a week or a couple weeks. And all it takes is like an hour or 30 minutes, like 10 minutes per day, and you'll have made so much more progress than if you spent that time scrolling on social media. All right, so I feel like the year in review, that kind of segues to like my year in reading and everything that I have in store for the rest of the year. I'm at 25 out of 35 books read for this year. And between the book club books that are remaining for October, November, December, and every book that's on my bookshelf that I haven't read, that totals out to be 10 books. And I have a little stack. If you're watching the YouTube video, I have a little stack in the frame of all the books that I need to read on my bookshelf. I feel like on Book Talk, at least, they say there's two book-related hobbies. There's reading books, and then there is buying books. And I definitely don't want to get into the habit of buying books and then not reading them. So that's why I'm taking this opportunity to try to whittle down that list of unread books on my bookshelf, and let's see what I have in store for myself for the rest of the year. So I feel like there's a lot of genres here. The first one on my stack is Undocumented: How Immigration Became Illegal, which is very timely with the election. And so I think this could be a really good read. It is nonfiction as far as I can tell. So nonfiction read. The next one is Promises of Gold, or Promesas de Oro, which is half, it's the same, it looks bigger than it is because it's the same, it's a poetry book. And half the poems are in Spanish, and then the other half of the book is translating those poems into English. So I feel like I've been wanting to read more poetry, and I literally have two poetry books in this stack, including this one. And I just think ending your day with a poem is just such a good way to stay immersed in the world of literature. And as somebody who likes to write poetry myself, it's also a great way to get inspiration. So this is on my list. This is a book that I got for free at one of my last jobs. We Need to Build: Field Notes for Diverse Democracy by Eboo Patel. From the former faith advisor to the president to President Obama comes an inspirational guide for those who seek to promote positive social change and build a more diverse and just democracy. So I feel like also another timely read. I think I'll probably organize these by reading them before the election if they're kind of related. The next one on my stack is The World Keeps Ending and the World Goes On. This is another poetry book. I picked this up at a very cute bookshop called Milkweed Books in, I guess I would call it downtown Minneapolis. I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, this book just kind of spoke to me on the shelf. I like came back to it a couple times, and then I decided I needed to take it home with me. This is just the quick one-liner. A poetry collection for the ends of worlds, past, present, and future. Also kind of timely. So maybe that one needs to get read sooner than later. The next one on my list is Swiped. This one's relatively new. I think it's a 2024 book. Yeah, 2024. Dating can be a real killer. So this is like a dating app thriller, which I thought was really fun. Then we have Atomic Love. This book has been on my bookshelf for years. I just picked it up randomly in a Barnes & Noble. When I was in my romance novel era, that was the only thing I would read. This is a historical fiction where love, desire, betrayal, her choice could save a nation. And I've literally only read one chapter of it, and I'll have to reread it because I read that literally so long ago. But it's based in Chicago, 1950s Chicago. Rosalind Porter has always defied expectations in her work as a physicist on the Manhattan Project and in her passionate love affair with colleague Thomas Weaver. So I feel like physics, atomic love. Like, I feel like it could be good. We'll see. This is not an endorsement for any of these books because I have not read them yet. So in the coming episodes, you'll hear my progress on this list. The last unread book on my bookshelf is called Honey, a novel by Isabel Banta. And I'll put a list of all of them in the description. But it's an addictive coming-of-age story that follows the meteoric rise of pop star Amber Young as she navigates fame and self-discovery in the late 90s and early 2000s. So it's like historical fiction, but like near history. I think it's supposed to be kind of that Britney Spears era of fame. And then I also thought this would be really interesting to read. I picked this up at my farmer's market, a little like book truck that was parked at my farmer's market, which I loved that. And it just, there's like holographic CDs, which could be an innuendo, on the cover. And I just thought it looked really fun. It's pink, and it would be really interesting to read it after reading Jeanette McCurdy's memoir, where she also was kind of getting famous as a child actor in the early 2000s. I thought this would be an interesting fictional take on a similar situation. So those are all of my books that I need to read from my bookshelf. And then book club, we have The Only One Left by Riley Sager, which is a thriller. This Tender Land, which is Native American fiction based in Minnesota by William Kent Krueger. And for December, we're reading the third book in the trilogy, A Jingle Bell Mingle by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone, which is a spicy holiday book to end off the year on a festive note. And I think the whole book club is really excited to just keep exploring that series. And we've been able to, I wasn't there for the first session, but for the last two books, the book club has been able to like video call with the authors and do like a little Q&A. So hopefully we'll be able to get them again. And that's just a really fun way to end out the year. So lots of reading ahead of me. My nightstand does not have room for all these books, but I will be reading them. Now that I've said it in the podcast, it has to happen. So to close out, I just want to celebrate one more milestone with you. This is episode 21 of the podcast, and only 1% of podcasts make it to episode 21. So that is a huge milestone, and I'm really excited that I still have momentum, and I see this. Hopefully we'll be celebrating another milestone soon, but it's just really exciting to have a project that's ongoing like this one. And so if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on YouTube, follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give me a rating, give some comments, give a like. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.